previously on Compassion Radio.
I think like after Houston in the hurricane, right? Yeah. Like you see total heartbreak, people losing everything they've worked for. And then you also see people of like different ethnicities and race and economic factors, all that, like sort of reaching out and helping each other through the water or rescuing an old person who is stranded in their home. And that's this other glimpse, like right in our country, of these extremes, but also I think this taste of love in God's kingdom.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the front lines of faith to where you live, this is the daily radio journal of God's hand at work in the world's toughest places. Thanks for joining us on today's Compassion Radio. We all love a good story, right? After all, we're a radio program, and it's our job to create word pictures for you in order to tell stories. Now, my question for you is God writing a story on your heart? And if so, is that story causing you to want to serve Him all the more? Today, Bram welcomes back a gentleman who got this conversation started yesterday. And in keeping with our theme, he's going to share what God's been doing in his heart. And friend, you don't want to miss it. Here's Bram.
Back with me today on Compassion Radio is Kent Annan of the new Wheaton Humanitarian Disaster Institute. You're a senior fellow there. Welcome back.
Thank you. Your listeners can't see, but my gray hair affirms that I'm a senior fellow.
And my gray hair congratulates you on making it this far, youngster. We are talking about the power of story to get us to a place of service and willingness to serve Jesus, wherever that is. And we get to that place of being willing to serve because of the story that God's writing on our hearts. I think about the story of Jesus stepping out and taking off his robe of authority and kneeling down. When he's facing death, he's washing his own disciples' feet, and they're freaking out. They know this man. They know he's selfless. They know he's been a giver for the years they've known him, but somehow they're shaken by this. And this is the story that you are working to duplicate on the hearts and minds of new leaders of a new generation. So what is it to be training up these new foot washers?
Yeah, we're so excited about this and having this new Master of Arts in Humanitarian and Disaster Leadership. And I think the idea is, like you said, we're drawn to compassion and wanting to serve other people. And that love should motivate us and get us moving. But we also think, well, if we're going to love our neighbors, especially those who are vulnerable in some way, if disaster, it's a humanitarian crisis in the U.S. or another country, let's do it really well. Like, that's part of our responsibility in loving our neighbor, is to do it well. I sometimes talk about it like this. When we go to love people, we shouldn't just love them with our hearts, but we should love them with our minds as well. Just like God's invited us, you know, love him with all of our minds and hearts and
the
souls.
The gift of attention.
Yeah, exactly. The gift of attention and the practice. And so, yeah, so that's what we're trying to do in this program is say, oh, people who are on this path to serving your vocation, let's take this like full of heart, not discounting that at all, full of heart and compassion. But then let's also take it as seriously as being an engineer or being a doctor or being a lawyer, being a nurse, whatever your profession is. Let's do that and prepare really well so we serve people in the best way possible.
Let me jump straight to the question of distinctiveness. How is this any different than just jumping into the Peace Corps?
The difference is, so we're training people and preparing them for internships, but I think having this faith element, we talk about it in three ways. These three pillars is how I think of it. One is having the core competencies. So these would be similar to what any professional NGO or grassroots organization or disaster response would want. You know, you want core competencies of how to do evaluation, assess the situation, think about psychosocial issues, think about NGO leadership. So let's
have core,
yeah, kind of like business management applied to humanitarian core competency. But second, if we're doing this as Christians, let's think Christianly about the whole person and the whole approach and community and redemption. And so like that's an essential part of what we bring to the table as Christians and what we can bring to the table in this work. And then the third component would be, well, we're followers of Jesus. We need to keep growing as people who are being formed as disciples of Christ. And so we have the core competencies, good Christian thinking, and then also having formation as leaders. When we bring all those together, we do bring something special to the table.
Very good. And Wheaton's been on the forefront of all kinds of not just creative, but practical thought and application of the gospel in the generations that they've taught.
For sure.
And so they've taken the lead on lots of things having to do with communications as well.
Yep.
What does evangelistic or evangelism or evangelical mean in a modern context?
Yep, absolutely. There are other programs with focus on that, and then we love that this program will complement those other things on communications and evangelism and have this part for people who are wanting to go into
I would hope that people coming to you will not be just graduates looking for the next level of education with no practical experience, but even thinking in terms of churches across the country that have qualified people that are making the migration from the secular environment into an applied ministry environment.
Yeah.
To get them focused on, we need to find people that can train them to be really effective where we are, to take on our city.
Yeah, exactly. I just was talking with a pastor last week, and he's likely going to do the program. We have a 1 year on campus, but then a 2 year hybrid where you just spend 4 weeks on campus. Mm-hmm. Over the 2 years, everything else is online. And the pastor is going to do this 2 year program. He thought, oh, this is going to help me think about how to serve in my city. And also we have missions in our church and people that go out. So it's going to help me think through the international part of our church, as well as how we partner locally. And so I think that's a great compliment. We have a couple MDs and a nurse who are going to kind of retool and use those skills to help in how they serve. And then we have people coming straight from undergrad. So we think that that's like a perfect mix, like you said, of let's get some people fresh and asking brand new questions with that new perspective. And you want that creativity and people getting them started on their vocation. But we love that we're also going to have people honing their skills who are further along in their vocation too.
Very good. Now, let's talk quickly about your books, because that's where the stories started leading to a new platform for you. Mm-hmm. And you are a practical missionary. You got out there and you lived the life. You were out there helping refugees at times when refugees weren't even on the national radar yet. Mm-hmm. And it certainly wasn't a national policy issue at the time.
Right.
In fact, you were fulfilling things that the government said that we do want to be about. We do want to help refugees in war zones. Yeah. But the books, the titles themselves, when I think about overwrought public relations pieces, Slow Kingdom Coming, the byline of that title is chock full.
Right.
So give me the title from the top.
Right.
The book is called Slow Kingdom Coming.
Slow Kingdom Coming. And then we did go with a long subtitle on this one. So let's see if I can get it right. Practices for Doing Justice, Loving Mercy, and Walking Humbly in Our World. And so the idea is taking a slow kingdom coming, which is Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I found that discouraging at times and hopeful at times in this kind of work, you know, hopeful and wanting to commit to God's kingdom coming. And so that's where the idea of slow kingdom coming comes. And so how do we participate well in this slow kingdom coming? And one of the great answers is in Micah 6:8, you know, which is what became that subtitle of the book. Well, a good life and also a good approach to work and loving our neighbors is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And then I shifted it just because it's focused on helping other people to walk humbly in the world and with our neighbors. And so
when I first saw the title, yeah, the first thought that came to my mind was slow cooker. I looked at that and thought, how frustrating. There's nothing more frustrating than me to come home and say, oh, that smells wonderful. Right. It's not ready yet.
Another 2 hours to go. There's another book. There have been a few things recently, and it's partly in my mind. There's a slow food movement recently, right, which is like local, organic. Let things grow in a sustainable way. There's a good book also by my same publisher called Slow Church. They came out a few years ago and think, oh, it's not just about programmatic and rushing to the next hot thing, but it's about like building these deep relationships with deep roots. And so
we do think about slow as being a virtue.
Yeah.
Now, it's not necessarily an inconvenience, but it's also kind of gimmicky in a way. Our generation's aware of the lack of slowing down, so we're trying to capitalize on that.
Exactly.
But you're not talking about a slow cooker here. We have to wait forever for it to be finally done.
Right.
Your slow kingdom coming is now.
Mm-hmm.
The work we're doing is going on. It's not incomplete and waiting for something else to happen.
Yeah.
You're encouraging people to engage the problems and the opportunities and the joys of today.
Yep.
And to get out there and do stuff.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's not a slow kingdom coming, so we get to sit on our rocker and watch it come when it comes. No, this is an invitation to the hard work of God's kingdom coming and serving people in whatever capacity. For some people, it's full-time. For a lot of people, it's not. You know, Wednesday night dinner, they're serving in their youth group at their church, or they're on their missions committee on Thursday nights, you know, after a long day's work. So I think it's trying to encourage people like that. This is slow work, but like you said, it's breaking in every day. It's breaking in our lives, and it's breaking in around the world. When we do that and we have the right perspective, we cannot push too hard, but we can participate in God's timing.
Now, the new book coming out, I don't know if it's going to be a blockbuster, but it's going to be certainly talked about, because you're getting very close to the knife's edge here about something that is potentially divisive on a whole new level within the evangelical Christian movement.
Yep.
And that has to do with a biblical response to hospitality and to love in an age where the walls are going up and the doors are being shut and the shutters are coming down.
Yep.
And what you have to say in your book is not a political diatribe.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making a case for a certain political action
yeah.
or theory.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to tap back into the Christ and the kingdom ethic that's always been there.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the new book.
The new book is titled You Welcomed Me. So echoing Jesus in Matthew 25, who says, like, when you welcome the stranger, you welcomed me, in that beautiful passage. And then the subtitle, again, a little bit long, not as many adverbs, I don't think, but loving refugees and immigrants because God first loved us. And it felt like this moment in our country where I think there are legitimate hard policy issues to wrestle about. You know, like, we have to decide as a country how many immigrants come in next year. And we need to debate that, and it should be a rigorous debate, and there can be different perspectives by people of faith, no faith, within right. the Christian community. Like, that's legitimate. But I think for us as Christians, I think the story, and you're good at stories on Compassion Radio, the story needs to change, and it needs to be rooted in the fact that God first loved us.
Right.
And I just read someone talking the other day of almost thinking of Jesus as an immigrant, like this person who left the Trinity to be with us as a stranger on earth. And then if you think of
the sojourn.
Yeah, the sojourn that came. And then you think of Adam and Eve being kicked out of home, out of the garden, and this human wandering. You know, the whole story of Scripture then is a scripture of trying to get back home all the way through to Revelation, from the first few chapters of Genesis and the people of Israel who were wandering, looking for home, and then Jesus without a place to lay his head. Like, this is our story, and we're told Old Testament and New Testament to care for the widow and the orphan and for the stranger and for the immigrant in our midst. So to me, I want this book to be, like you said, it's not about policy. I think it's an invitation to be our best selves, to be the people that God invites us to be, which is a people who our first impulse is to welcome.
We'll get right back to this terrific interview in just a moment. But first, this word from Cher Nelson.
Hello, friends. This is Cher Nelson. For those of you who are listening, I'm just so grateful that you're here, because our message hasn't changed, our hearts haven't changed, our purpose hasn't changed, and our partnership with you hasn't changed. We all have been overwhelmed with stories of desperation and need. There are so many things happening, and I have to tell you that we need your hearts of compassion today, too. Although I want you to reach out in tangible ways to people around you, I need to tell you that we need your help financially, too. Please know that we know the economy is difficult for many people. But we don't want to lose our voice bringing you the stories of what's happening around the world. We don't want to lose our opportunity to bring Christians to you that need your love and support and your prayer. Please love us. And please, if you haven't, join our vision team. God bless you.
Join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to Bram and his guest, Kent Annan.
So to me, I want this book to be, like you said, it's not about policy. I think it's an invitation to be our best selves, to be the people that God invites us to be, which is a people who our first impulse is to welcome. We have to deal with security, and we have to be wise about security. So I think our orientation is, how can we welcome the most people and in the best ways possible? And then from there, from that orientation, which I think is a godly orientation, then what are the hard issues to debate? One of the most cited phrases in all of Scripture is, do not fear. But we are supposed to love. And so this is really an invitation for us as people, as families, as churches, to be motivated by love and to take that orientation into the story and recognize the story we're part of, reboot the story. And then from that perspective, let's talk about these difficult.
I think about how many times Jesus, throughout his teachings, where he's actually speaking in the first person, yeah. how many times he appeals to us in ways. He very rarely, other than with small circle, ever commanded anything. But when he commanded things, they were never, ever about self-preservation.
Right.
All of his commands had to do with agape. It wasn't even about feelings at times. It was about, you will do these things because you are the kind of people who are about the business of obeying me.
Right.
I mean, the language is kind of convoluted, even in the Greek,
right.
But it gets us there through the present progressive.
Yeah.
He says, while you're doing these things, you are, in fact, showing how you obey me.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you this new commandment, and it says I'm going to layer on a whole new level what love means here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, because if we sit there and really camp on that term for a while, what did he really mean by love?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Right.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of joy, like you mentioned in the last program. But it's going to have some lament in there, too.
Right.
We're going to have to enter into the sufferings of others and actually own them as our own and say, I stand with them. They are my people.
Yep. Yeah.
Like when Boaz finally accepts Ruth and Naomi back in, that whole return, that restoration, the renewal that happens, the redeeming, the redemption.
Right.
It only happens because there was a pursuit of home. Mm-hmm. And an acceptance and a welcoming that went beyond the conventional, went beyond the norms, went beyond what was even legally required.
Right.
So tell me about how that's working out in the church as you've seen it in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are examples where I think we get caught up too much in fear and thinking, well, it's how do we minimize risk? But I never see that in Jesus' story or in the story of Scripture. I don't think we're called to be unwise. Mm. But I don't think we're called to a risk-free life. That's not a core value of being Christian and loving our neighbors. But I do see so many churches, I think even in this hard moment politically where there's like tension on all these different sides, but it has been encouraging, I think, that many churches, they receive refugees. And the churches I talked with in this past couple of years, and I've known other churches in the past, but you know, I was working on this book. The people who are accepting refugees, they say, now we can't imagine our church without them.
Yeah.
They changed our lives. We learned something about ourselves and hospitality, and we have these friendships. And so I really do think it's this invitation to be our best selves. Like when Jesus does these things, sometimes I think Jesus' commandments and invitations are hard and they can feel like sort of challenging to our lives. But I think Jesus is always inviting us to a good life.
Yeah.
Like it's not a good life as defined on the cover of GQ magazine or Glamour or whatever. But this is God who loves us.
The rich and famous.
Yeah, right, exactly. But this isn't an invitation to the good life. And I think welcoming refugees and immigrants here and also welcoming them in a refugee camp near and helping out, you know, when closer to their home, I think this is an invitation to the good life. A good life of loving because God first loved us. I just think that that's where we're grounded and then there are ways we can engage. But I think there's such a good story, the story of God who loves us to be part of. And that's what I want us as we think about the story.
So is this a positive story? Is this a joyful story you're telling?
It's absolutely a joyful story. I think it's a story of the people who make it through unbelievable circumstances to make it through. And I think there's a lot of joy in those stories. And I think it's a joy of how when we welcome, it transforms our lives as well. So I just think it's positive and joyful.
That's been a joy for us at Compassion Radio to follow some of these stories of places around this country where refugees have been welcomed, where friends have decided to be friendly. If you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly.
Right.
Problem is pretty clear on that one.
Yeah.
In other words, who does it start with? It starts with us.
Yeah.
And if we literally have the presence of Jesus within us, the Spirit of the living God living and looking out through our own eyeballs,
mm-hmm.
He sees the world through us.
Right.
He lets us guide where he's going to look.
Yep.
And he also is nudging us, I think, by the Spirit saying, look left, look left,
exactly.
Look right. There they are.
Exactly. And you see those stories too, and it does change people's lives. We get to see joy. And it's harder to have someone in your church or over at your home who doesn't speak the language very well. Like it's kind of awkward and it's stumbling. So it's not always easy, but I've just found, you know, whether in other countries or here, it's amazing how I've gotten to know God more. God's bigness and grace is in these kind of experiences.
When God's bringing the Great Commission to us, how can we not engage it?
Right, exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The entire world is spilling into our world cities. And we have like friends in St. Louis, the Friends of Refugees and Immigrants Foray. Mm-hmm. Their whole mission started because of an opportunity that their pastor said, would anybody be interested in taking in a refugee for Thanksgiving?
Right.
And that started a whole new trend of interaction over the entire message of what Thanksgiving meant, the spiritual roots of it. And suddenly, there was an opportunity to connect with people who understand the gift.
Right. Yeah, that's a fantastic story. And I tell some stories like that, and I sort of see it for me. I found this in my life. You can sort of move along this scale. Like, you take these little steps. You don't have to go and, like, a refugee family moves into your basement tomorrow. But it's like, what are these little steps that we can grow in following Jesus and discover joy?
Well, right, great story you'll have if you do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, no, I think it's an invitation into the great story, yes. The story of God redeeming us and leading us toward home. And then we get to participate in our small ways in these joyful homecomings along the way.
It's tough to call the conversation quits at this point, but we have to wrap up this program. But it's a great start, I think. Mm-hmm. I would like the opportunity from time to time to come back and talk with you about the new stories God's writing.
Yeah, I'd love
on the lives of people you meet, mm-hmm. and the people that God's bringing you to raise up to be these new servant leaders in the future.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a marvelous chance to tap into what God's doing, His kingdom work here, even in the States. It's not just an international thing.
No, absolutely. It's happening all around us.
But I'm glad when our listeners step in and say, I want to be part of that. I want to learn these kind of things. In fact, you might want to find out more friends if you're in that transition of life looking for an educational opportunity to then turn around and become more effective at the ministry you know God has called you to right where you live. You might want to look into that Humanitarian Disaster Institute at Wheaton.
Mm-hmm.
And Kent Annan, you can be found anywhere on the web.
Yep.
Kent, A-N-N-A-N.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for spending this couple of hours with us here at Compassion Radio. We wish you the best and look forward to hearing more of what God's doing in you and through you.
Thank you to you and your listeners. Honored to be with you.
Go ye therefore to every nation, preach the gospel in every land, to every language and every people in my name. Reach out your hand. Tell the world the message. Take it.
Compassion Radio, we certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing, for it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. Here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
In just a few more days, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to the generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. What is in the works is going to seriously amaze some of our most loyal supporters and inspire a whole new level of compassionate action and ministry. All of these things are directly related to the faithful support of partners, and that means you. Would you consider a special anniversary gift to the Lord for the work of Compassion Radio this month, even today? We have a truly unique mandate, you know this, to connect you with the work and witness of the worldwide kingdom of God. We bring you kingdom news that can transform your life, but we can only get those stories and bring them to you if you send us. Thank you for remembering us today with your special gifts and offerings. They are essential to our current work and to the future of Compassion Radio. Please give as generously as you can, and please do it today. And I could say with confidence of years witnessing this myself, God is truly pleased when we reach out and reach deep. God bless you, friends.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.